Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I had to take myself off mute. Okay, hey you guys, welcome to TMDS. This is the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm trying to get some things in order here, so just bear with me. Couple of technical difficulties, it does happen from time to time, so just bear with me for a moment. Let me see. Okay. I see what happened here. I hope Dad can hear me. Can you guys hear me? You can go to the chat room and let me know. I'm looking for my co-hosts to come up on the board momentarily. See what's happening here with them. You know, the Michael Gay Show theme has changed over the years. And first and foremost, I want to say, welcome to the TMGS on this Saturday. We have some great topics that we're going to talk about, and we're going to have a special guest this evening. This individual, oh, wow. You know, when Elijah Baker, who is an original member of the Tony's band, made a contact with me to have this individual to be our guest this evening, I was so honored and thankful for it. And I'm always honored and thankful for all the guests that we have on our show, you know, because I'm just an everyday guy. You know, for me to have these different guests on is truly a privilege for me, okay? So, and for all of you, because they share a lot of great stories, things that you never knew about, things you would be like, oh, wow. You know, so that's coming soon. But the Michael Gay Show theme right there that you heard, it came from an individual who was a member of a very, you know, very popular group back in the day. Yeah, you remember Ozone? Mm-hmm. Feel like I want to stroke my thing. It's jiggling from side to side. Tina Marie, remember them? You know, well, that track that you just heard came from the guitarist of that band, and I just really appreciate the fact that he did that, right? We have about, you know, 2 hours on this show, so right now, I want to tell you right now that the time is now 6:05 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:05 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is January the 27th of 2024. time flies, don't it? Time truly flies. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. If you're listening online, there's some folks who do not like to call in and talk, but they like to go to the chat room. So I'm going to open the chat room. Let me go to the chat room right now and say hello to everybody there. And when you get there. And by the way, if you don't like to talk on air, that's no problem. Go to the chat room. It takes just a couple of seconds for you to sign in, and I will read your questions and comments on the air. But today is a special day, you know, to me, because of the fact that it's been a minute since we've had a special guest on, Israel, that can share some stories, share things that we did not know. Not you, we, including me, did not know. So I'm very honored, and I'm very thankful to have Mr. Hold on a minute. By the way, I'm doing the show outside, so I might go indoors, but I want to sit outside because it's just so comfortable. It feels so good here, sitting outdoors. And someone just pulled up in my yard. I don't know who the hell it is, but I'll find out in a minute. But in the meantime, in between time, I'm going to open up the mic of the one and the only, okay? Y'all know who I'm talking about. Miss Jen talking. Keep on going. But, you know, you have to do that. You got to do that part.
Yeah.
Hey, Jen, how are you doing? Happy Saturday to you.
I'm doing good. I'm doing well. And you? You're doing okay?
Hey, you know, I can do the best I can do. That's all I can do. Every day of my life, just do the best I can do. That's it. But, you know, we have a great show this Saturday, right?
That's right. Awesome.
Of course you did, because of the fact that you helped put together this whole show. So this Saturday, you know, we have our special guest is going to be joining us shortly. You know, we're going to have a really great show. So it should be awesome. I really do look at it being an awesome show.
Yeah, same here.
Now, I might need to go indoors because all of a sudden it was quiet. But now noise is coming around me. There's a jet flying over my head. A person pulled up in the driveway. I'm like, okay, y'all know I do these shows on Saturdays, but anyway, okay, so it's getting a little bit quiet. Okay, fine. All right, so, but no, you know what? We're going to get into these other topics, hot topics, because looking at what happened to the individual who was a was a president and now wants to be president again, and what he has to pay. We're going to get into that.
Okay.
And I kind of wonder, why do people still want this person to leave the country? But you know what? You know, I want to do this, Janet. I want to share a little story real quick. Do you mind?
No, not at all. Okay.
Before we get into our opening topics, or I'm saying that our major topics, I want to share something that I saw as far as theft and stealing. A little kid had been coming into the store. By the way, you guys, I work for Walmart. I've been a manager. Right? This little kid has been coming into the store and stealing product. Literally. One of the managers or supervisors caught him trying to steal a 24-inch television. Now, this kid's smart because he wasn't trying to grab it.
Wait a minute, Michael. Is that the one that was stealing the bikes?
The hoverboards.
Hoverboards?
Here's the thing. Look, people will go into the store. Thieves will go into the store, get on the bike, and ride it right past the front door. Who's going to stop it? Nobody. But this little kid here, okay, let me try to run this by because I don't want to run out of time. I just want to share this because something had happened this last week. And then earlier yesterday, I didn't share that with you, but I just want to, you know, give the moral to the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
this kid, they knew it was him. Tried to steal a 24-inch television. Now, think about how he went about this. He went over into the department where you have luggage. So he tried to shove the TV into the luggage cart that has wheels, right? Come to find
yeah.
out, can't fit. So he thought about it. He said, well, I'll take it out the box. Can't fit in the box. But one of the other supervisors caught him and said, well, what the hell are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. That supervisor told me this story. I'm like, wow, really? He said, yeah, man, this dude tried to steal the dog on the TV. I'm like, oh, wow, that's deep. So he let him go. Told him don't come back. Okay, now, wait a minute. The story gets even deeper. One day I'm standing on the aisle, and I see this kid roll past me on a luggage cart. And it made me think about what the other manager told me. I said, this is probably the same damn kid. So I kind of like, you know, follow him a little bit, see where he's going. And then what he did, which is really interesting, he noticed I saw him. And he said verbally in the open, where's my mom at? She's supposed to pay for this. I'm like, uh-huh. So time goes by, and the manager over that department where that area was, okay, said, hey, you know what? I found two empty boxes of these hoverboards, two empty boxes.
Mm.
I'm like, what the hell? Okay. So we realize that this kid is really stealing. We understand. And then one day, I'm walking down the main aisle, and all of a sudden, this kid rolls past me on a hoverboard. I'm walking. He's behind me. He rolls past me now, Janet. And I look. I'm like, the hell? So what got me was this. I seen the kid before. He had on the same jacket. I said, this is the same damn kid. Walking out the door with. Yeah, it's the same kid. I'm like, what
y'all let
the
him
hell?
Go. Y'all let him go.
No. Let me finish the story. Let me finish the whole story here. I cut forward through the aisles where customers are, you know, paying for their product and everything. I cut through because he's heading for the front door to get out. I get ahead of him, and there's a person, as all Walmarts have, that check receipts. But now he's riding a hoverboard. How do you know if he came in with it or not? Because they don't pay attention to those type of areas, right? So what threw me off is that I'm ahead of him, and you know they have what they call the shopping cart corral, right, inside the stores. He rolls over there and gets off of the hoverboard. He's got a bicycle parked right there. He's got a bicycle sitting there. So at that moment, when he gets off the hoverboard, I know I can go ahead and grab the hoverboard. And I pick it up. He turns around, looks at me, and his eyes are like deers in a headlight. Okay? Or a deer in head, not deers, but a deer in a headlight. I'm like, hey, man, you just bought this? He said, no, it belongs to my homeboy or my friend. I said, this belongs to your friend? He said, yeah. So why are you riding it? Well, he asked me to ride it up here. Here's where the lie starts, and it does not compute. He asked me to ride it up here, and he'll be up here, and he'll meet me. I'm like, okay, so that's your bike, right? He says, yeah, that's my bike. I'm like, but you're riding this hoverboard. And it's your friend. I said, so where's your friend at? He's over in electronics looking at stuff over there. I'm like, mm-hmm. Janet, I picked up the hoverboard. This thing is brand spanking new. Ain't no way in hell you rolled this, that you owned this before you stole it, okay? Brand spanking new. There's no gravel, no nothing on the tires.
Michael, but is that the same boy that you told me about a few weeks ago that was stealing hoverboards?
Yeah.
Is that
the... I just said, it's the same kid. And the sad part about it, he can't be no more than, I will say that his latest age would be maybe 13, maybe.
Okay, but so what did you do? You let him go?
Well, no. Let me finish the story. I'm toying with him. You know the term, toying. I'm toying with him, and I'm watching his expression. I'm like, okay, and then he covers a lie with another lie. I'm like, okay, so your friend told you to ride his hoverboard up here. Here you got a bicycle sitting over here. You got off the damn hoverboard, went to your bike. That don't compute. Follow me? Well, then he tried to get on the bike to ride up. I said, no. Just. I mean, you can sit on the bike. I said, but you ain't gonna ride out. So the person, you know, everybody knows is that person at the Walmart that checks the receipts. He was kind of like, you know, tied up with the customers that he was looking at the receipts and everything. But I've seen this kid before, and the things that were the kid said, well, he's coming up here. And so the person that normally does the door said, well, hold on a minute. He knocked on the door to the security office, which is right there, and said, hey, look, this cat got this hoverboard. I don't think he, you know, he said the thing. I said, well, no, wait a minute. I said, let's do this. I said, one thing he don't realize, we've seen him before, right? We've seen him before. It's on video. So what security did, they went back and they said, you know what? You need to go home and don't come back to the store again. That's what they told him. Go home. Don't come back here again. If we see you again, you will be charged with criminal trespass. Because see, here's the thing. It's all on video. They went back and looked and saw where he took it out of the box. I found that out. But they got their product back, see?
Yeah, but how many did he take before this? Because you told me a few weeks ago. Huh?
Well, that's a good question. I think probably two or three, because there were empty boxes out there. On the floor, there were empty boxes in the department. And see, that was when I was, well, for some of y'all that don't know, I've been a manager. And I stepped down recently because, yeah, that's another story. But we found empty boxes. And things that were, you know, people do ride those things around town, everything. But anybody can walk into a store. And if no one's watching it or not able to see it, a person can actually get on one of these. And what really got me is that where, see, as I said, when I saw him and when he got off the hoverboard, that's when I knew I could pick it up. See, I could not force anybody off of a product, right, because I don't know if it's theirs. But once you leave it, I can pick it up. I picked it up and I looked. Janet, there was no gravel, no nothing. This thing was crystal clean. I'm like, ain't no way in hell your friend rolled this damn thing up here to the store. But the sad thing is, this
and his
was
friend
kid.
Never showed up. His friend never showed up.
He did not
so
have,
who's
he
to
did,
say?
He did not have a friend. Okay, he did not have a friend.
Right. But Michael, who's to say this little boy who's been coming into the store so many times taking things out? Because I remember you telling me, and I was like, you kidding me? You said no. You know, they couldn't catch him. So y'all catch him, and then y'all let him go.
Well, here's the thing.
Who's to say he's not going to come back? I would have called his parents.
Okay, well, hold on a minute, because I just opened up the mic to, I believe this is the one and only Mr. Timon Ship.
Hey, Timon.
Hey, Janet. Happy New Year and all. And
Happy
Mike, is this a black boy? Is this a black boy, Mike?
Yeah, it's a black kid, but I just want to finish it. I just want to finish it out before we, you know, I'm sharing a story, but let me finish the story and then get you guys' opinion on it. Yes, he cannot be no older, to be honest, than 12. And when I looked at the way he did it, this kid tried to put a 24-inch television into a rolling suitcase.
And he was planning on taking a suitcase out.
Somebody has been coaching him on how to steal. He didn't come up with this out at the top of his head. Somebody has been coaching him on how to steal. And that's what I think. Because, see, if you're over a certain age, right, okay, and you're stealing, you go to jail for a little bit longer, right? But when you get kids to do it, well, first of all, I mean, you all know the program. It ain't new. In every state, you're a juvenile. They're not going to put you behind bars forever and ever in a day.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will.
No,
yes,
not for stealing. Okay, well, you show me a case that shows that. No, in most cases, you go to juvenile, okay, depending on what you did, Janet, depending on what the crime that you committed. As a juvenile, you will not be behind bars.
How much the Hoover board cost? How much the Hoover board cost? How much the board cost?
The board is like, I mean, they range in prices. The highest are like $130 at the most. Okay, but a hoverboard is a hoverboard. Okay, it doesn't matter. And what I'm thinking, in order for an individual to do that at that age, they're doing it, they're selling it, you know, or either maybe an adult is behind this, using a child. Look at it in drug dealing. They use children because for the fact that when it comes to this, and I'm pretty sure Timon can confirm what I'm saying or not, when you're using a juvenile, a juvenile is not going to go to jail as long as an adult. Am I right, Timon?
Well,
let him finish.
Well,
what do you say, Timon?
Michael, is this a black kid, Michael? Mike?
He said
it was black.
Is he black?
No, I'm saying that. He was a black kid, yeah.
He's a black kid. Now, Michael, now you know you can't accuse black children of stealing. That is against cultural situation that you are going after black children, that y'all been watching black kids come in your store and you're accusing them of stealing. How dare you Walmart employees attack the black children of America?
Cameras are everywhere, my brother. Cameras are everywhere. So,
you know those cameras are faulty cameras, Michael. They only...
They're faulty.
Guys are going after black children, and it's wrong.
Okay.
I knew it. I knew that it was going.
Now, hold on. Who is saying that, Simon? Who's saying that?
That y'all going after the black. They said Walmart going after black children. Watch it.
Your
camera's pointed on black children, Michael. We can't have that. This is America, Michael. This is America, and we don't tolerate those things, Michael.
Well, where you used to do juvenile, when you did juvenile, it was only white children.
But, but, but go ahead. Let's go ahead and finish that out. So you saying time is that where, and I know that you're joking because the thing is those cameras are for everybody. But unfortunately, finish the sentence. But unfortunately, what's the fact of the matter?
Look, if a kid, it depends on what y'all laws are in Atlanta. But, you know, like we just had a kid who stole a car. He was 13 years old. He drove the car backed it up into a bakery, and everybody rushed in and stole all the baked goods and all the stuff out of there. They arrested that boy and let him go. Then he went right back out there and stole some more. Now, this time they probably got it. But, you know, depending on, see, nowadays, and this is, you know, it's a whole other conversation. But
right.
Black Lives Matter, when they came out, and I'm not against Black Lives Matter, don't get me wrong. But when you start talking defund the police, you're sending, we need police. I think that was the wrong message. There's a lot of people going to disagree, probably. But the message that you want is that we must have, because people, look, because if you don't stop criminals, okay, all they're going to do is pass that off onto the consumer, okay? So as you tear up their stores or break in them, the insurance is going to go up, and so they're going to pass up. Kind of like if you do minimum wage. If you raise the minimum wage, I'm going to jack up the price.
Okay? Of course.
If I jack your price up, if I pay you more money, we jack up the price. Guess who else raises their price?
Mm-hmm.
The rental company. So when you go to pay rent, they raise your rent.
And even the suppliers of the even the suppliers of the product is going to raise the price, right?
Exactamente. So everybody
is
going to make
it's a chain. It's a chain.
Yeah,
it's a chain effect.
Right, and so then you, as the person, like when you see all this smash and grab stuff. Once you start not locking people up for things that are, say you steal something, but it does not average out over $1,000, they're going to let you go because they're thinking, hey, well, but after a while, if the kid in his mind as a criminal, now there's a con here, and Janet probably knows what I'm talking about, and I'm not sure you'll get it. The con is, and criminals don't even see it, you say, hey, man. They let me go. That's right, because they already know you're going to do it again, and they setting you up. So when you do it again, guess what? I eventually build a profile on you, and eventually I lock your ass up. So your crime eventually goes from what you used to do, now goes to a felony charge. Remember, locking up people
is
big business,
and you
and
will
so
do more time
so
you, than,
I
mean,
so
than
I
just
understand what you're trying to do.
Time.
But what happens
right.
in the process?
They say
what happens
yes.
in the
right.
process is that the consumer gets blamed for it. Takes on all of that by they tearing up everything. Insurance goes up, and the price of the what the consumer is going to buy goes up. And then
right.
the consumer turns
exactly.
around and says, hey, it's the government. The government did blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no.
Right.
It's because what you got, you can't allow people to steal. Because if you do, then what we got, you know.
Right. Okay, I have to cut that off for a moment because the thing is that where we only have a certain time because we do have a special guest that's coming on at 6:45. I just threw that out there because we do have other things I really want to talk about. But you're definitely on point. It does pass down to the consumer. It does have a situation of, as you just said, and that's the thing that I think that, you know, we always talk about the government. And as Janet said, you know, you have not three, but really four forms of government, higher government, you okay? But then you have your local governments. You follow my point? You have your higher government. You have your Congress. You have your senators. You have your you know, you have all that. But really what makes the difference in communities are your local governments, and people are not paying attention to that. They're so concerned about, which I think that there's something here that's going on where you're not really thinking about your local stuff. You're thinking about the higher government that has more obligations to the nation more than your local area. You're overlooking what's happening in your mayor, is it your local city councilman and stuff like that. You're overlooking it. Everybody's looking at the presidency now because Donald Trump and everything. And speaking of that, let's talk about it, and that's where I'm trying to segue to this topic. Donald Trump was just ordered to pay, what was the dollar amount, Janet?
$83.3 million. $83.3 million in defamation damages.
Okay. So, Simon, I want you to, you know, share in a minute, but correct me if I'm wrong. The first time around, he had to pay $5 million, right? Janet?
Right.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
$5 million? But he kept running his damn mouth, and she
right.
charged him again? Is that right? It was $5 million
well,
to start
took
with.
Him back to, she took him back to court.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to rush this through and then get you guys to respond. So $5 million is all he had. If he's the billionaire he claims to be, he could have paid the $5 million and shut his damn mouth. But no, not Donald J. Trump. He had to keep running his mouth. And she's filed against him again. Now he's paying, what was the number again? 83.5?
Well, it's 11 million for damages for her reputation and 7.3 million for emotional harm and other damages
okay.
and then 65
okay.
million in punitive damages.
Okay.
Total.
Remember what I said to you earlier when we were talking? Is that where, you know, sometimes, oh no, I'm sorry, you know, there's a term that they used to say that said, you know, don't let your mouth get your ass in trouble, right? That's what he did. He let his mouth get his ass in trouble. Had he shut up after the first trial, the $5 million. If he's a billionaire, it should be pennies to Donald Trump. No big deal. But no, he kept on attacking this woman. Now, it's quadruple the amount. Am I correct? Simon, what do you think?
Yes. Any, oh, sorry.
No, I was asking Simon, but if he's still here.
Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say yes, but he has also another case that's coming to a head in New York. He's going to be charged a lot than that.
I understand. We all know he has a bunch of charges. He's going through court. The thing is, I'm trying to say is this. Here is a case. It's not the New York case. It's not the Atlanta case. You know, he's got cases all over the country. Here's a case of one individual that he could have kept his damn mouth shut, and he didn't. He kept running his damn mouth. You understand my point? So in my thought process is that, well, wait a minute. Here's a businessman, allegedly. Granted, he made money through the money of his family, his father, and then he goes on to do his business, as we all know, successful TV show, blah, 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 becomes president of the United States, this and the other. Okay, we know this.
But then now we find out all these other things and all these other stuff is coming up. And this is the only and first person who has been president of the United States. President of the United States. That has been so, I mean, the things he said about people, no other president has ever said, then his followers accept it. His followers believe it. His followers are like, he's a businessman. A businessman should run the country. But they don't look at his record as a businessman due to the laws and the things that are allowed for a businessman, right? Here in America. He took advantage of those things. He took advantage of it. People that support him don't understand the laws, don't understand business, don't understand the fact that you can sit up there and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to file bankruptcy. Donald Trump filed bankruptcy so many damn times, you and I can't even count, but we know the truth. But you still want him to be president, to run the country? And he only found the loopholes in the laws. But you and I cannot do that. You and I cannot find these loopholes for us. Correct me if I'm wrong. And Janet, you said earlier when we were talking about how,
Can I say what I said?
Well, yeah,
I said there's four branches of government. I said because it's the presidential, which is POTUS. You have the Supreme Court. And then you have the Senate and you have the House. This is the first president that wants to have control over everything. He wants to have control over the House, the Senate, and the Supreme Court. And, you know, so are we electing a king or a dictator, or are we electing a president?
Are we electing a president for a democracy or dictatorship? Good point.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want time to chime in because I know he only has about an hour to share with us. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, you know, I have no sympathy for the dude. And true, they did tell him to be quiet, but Mike, he had no intentions of paying the $5 million. And he was not. He does not believe that our laws apply to him, which is the reason why this dude is a danger to society. This is why they tell you there's a danger with democracy. If you know fascism, the reason why they're saying it is because if you know the history of it, they start to put the message. And now with us having social media, the message becomes very dangerous. You have people who believe that somebody's taking something from them, which is bullshit. No one's taking anything from you. Okay? This is a lie. And everybody's, you know, because we had a pandemic. And then we had...
Can I ask you this? I'm sorry to interrupt what I'm saying. But do you think that she will see that 83 whatever... Okay, do you think that she will ever see that? Because, you know, there's always with anything, there's always a, you know, where an individual can go ahead and go back into the court and hold it up and this and the other. Do you think she really will see that, let alone the $5 million she was awarded in the beginning, but now here's 80-something million, do you really think she's going to see that?
Mike, the guy, why do you think he showed up at court, Mike? They're getting ready. This is, let me tell you, it's slow, and Janet knows this. We all wish it was faster. He wouldn't have showed up. if they didn't think they was going to, that he are, they had already got him for the rape charge.
Mm-hmm.
As he said earlier, if he'd have just kept his mouth shut. But he didn't believe. So now they made a believer out of him because they're going for $83 million. Now, with the $370 million that's going to hit him, this, because he does not have what everybody thinks he's got.
That's right.
The problem with our society is that, and these, there's that small little group of white folks, the small group, and mm-hmm. some ignorant-ass black people, whoever, and some minorities that are in there, too, that think this dude is God. But
mm-hmm.
they are, what's happening is, and he's trying to, if you notice, I don't know if you heard him, he's trying to blame Biden for this, too. Says, look what Biden is doing. This is Biden coming after me. If he's coming after
mm-hmm.
me, he's coming after you, which is all this. And that's what I'm saying. If you're that easy to someone can sway you and get you to believe that the reason why your life is shitty, or you're trying to tell me that the reason why you don't have anything is because immigrants are coming across the border, that's bullshit. And that's what I'm saying. This guy has to be taken out. To answer your question, he's going to pay it, or they're going to bankrupt him anyway, because the $370 million, even if they hit him with $300 million, he's only got four. They already got a person watching all of his properties and everything else. He's already under watch. So he can't go nowhere. He can't do anything. He is being watched. They are going to liquidate all of his shit.
And this money is going to be in a bond. So Eugene Carroll is going to get it. Even though
okay.
she's appealing, she's still going to get that money. Yeah, that's why he's upset.
Yeah, because
okay,
he
so
might,
again,
he
like I said, as I said earlier, is that where I'm glad to see some of this, you know, that's going on with Donald Trump is finally coming to an end, you know, slowly but surely. These cases, you have so many, you know, that are going against him. We only have a couple of minutes before our guest joins us, but let me ask you this, and I'm outside, by the way. What do you guys think about what's happening now with Fannie
That's Bonnie. Don't you do that. You live in Atlanta.
Bonnie,
you can't call
I'm sorry. Fannie. Bonnie. I said Fannie. I'm sorry. Bonnie. Okay, thank you for correcting me. But these allegations of her and we could talk about that on another show. But you know, I look at it where everybody's trying to find the negatives on somebody else to distract folks from what's happening with them. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
because I don't believe that. I think that they're just doing this so that they can have a outlet, you know. So, but even though they're saying these things about Fannie, that's not going to stop the case from going on. So, you know, they can buy people,
now,
do whatever, but then it's not going to make any difference.
But you know what, Janet,
okay.
I will say, I hope it ain't true that she was sleeping with that boy.
I hope it's not true, too. I don't think she's stupid enough to do something like that, Tyler.
Well,
without. What's that?
I said, I don't think she's stupid enough to do something.
I heard what Janet just said. But the thing is that where, according to what I saw recently, that there is documentation of them going on trips, okay?
Yeah, but see, you know what, Mike? That's wrong. The wife who the dude was married to for 26 years, and then they're talking about, oh, you know, she's doing this, and, you know, also, you know, they're saying that, you know, that he probably shouldn't have been on the case. Beforehand, everything was rolling. What difference would it have made who she hired? But the thing
right.
is, they've been looking, I'm telling you, hey, the Republicans played dirty. And they want to, they will do anything for this dude. Why do you think they holding up the bill for the immigration?
That's
right. They
got
a bill right now. Donald Trump told them, you better not sign it. Don't sign shit. Let it
but
fail
they want,
so
right.
I can come in and clean it up.
And they want to what is it when they want to impeach the guy that's the head of Homeland Security, but then you got a bill that can help with the immigration, and you don't want to pass it, but you want to
right.
impeach this guy. So which one is it? How can you impeach somebody when you don't even want to pass the bill? You want to wait till after because you don't want Biden to look good. But he's looking good anyway.
I know, and that's what I'm saying, Janet. It's just stuff that, you know, you're trying to stay on top of your game. They're just trying to send the country into a hole, and don't nobody else see it. Oh, he's too old. He's too this. For who?
Mm-hmm. All he got to do is dye his hair and put some makeup on, just like the other one, and they wouldn't be able to tell the difference. Let Trump not dye his hair.
Hold on a minute, because something happened on my end. Can you guys hear me right now?
Yeah, we hear
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't know what happened. Something like, and I was like, all of a sudden just got quiet on my end. I'm like, what the hell happened? I said, hello? And I didn't hear you guys, so I couldn't hear anything. So, Law Talk, there you go again. I'm monitoring this, okay? So, wow, that's crazy. All right, so, yeah, I think that Bonnie, this whole thing, as Simon said, I hope it's not true, but here we go again with another, you know, distraction. And everything is becoming a distraction. Am I right or wrong?
Oh, you're right.
They want it to be a distraction, Mike. That's the thing. They've been trying to make everything a distraction. You know, just like they say Biden is too old. Which one is it? One minute you say he's the head of a mafia, he's a crime family. The next minute he can't even get out of a chair, you know. But then you got this person going around doing all these things. It's just like they don't want to pass any money for Ukraine. But they said today and yesterday that there's funds out there that they can still give Ukraine with an executive order.
Right.
So he's just waiting for them to do the right thing.
Right. Well, the time now is 6:47 p.m. Eastern time, and I see that our guest is on the board, and what I want to do is just take a quick music break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to introduce our special guest this evening. I'm very, you know, thankful that he has agreed to come on the air, and the thing is, you know, this is going to be a great story. But what I want to do, first and foremost, I want to play a track from a group that he is involved in. You all know these songs. I've played them on the show before, and then he's going to give us a lot of information. Mr. The One and Only, look, let me play the song, okay? 3TOB, and then I'll give you more information about 3TOB and introduce our special guest, Mr. Antron Hale. We'll be right back. You're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be right back. This is 3TOB with Trading Places. Okay, it should be playing.
Oh, how cool.
Yes, here it is.
Where I set my eyes.
TMGS is the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, with my special co-host, Janet Polly Hawkins Davis, also Simon Schiff. Simon normally spends about an hour with us. He's a great comedian. He's a great actor. He's working on a lot of projects, so I really do appreciate him. But in the meantime, in between time, I have to say tonight is very special because we're going to have a conversation with an individual who has been with one of the best R&B groups of all time, known as Tony, Tony, Tony. And people think that Tony, Tony, Tony is just three people. No, really, Tony, Tony, Tony was a larger band, six individuals. So welcome to the show. I didn't mean to hit that, but I'm going to give applause to that, but I'm going to do it again. I want to welcome to the show. I accidentally hit that, but you know what? It hit the right time because Tony, Tony, Tony has been a great band. But we have a special guest this evening. Mr. Antron Hale is joining us to share, you know, everything from, I mean him being a writer, keyboardist, producer, has artists that he's working with and everything. And it's just been a blessing, you know, to be in this realm of discussing these type of conversations with these individuals. So I'll do it again. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Antron Hale. Woo! Guys, give it up. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you to you all. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. That's good. He did this. Come on, y'all. Look. Okay. Hey, Antron, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm truly blessed. I'm truly blessed. Praise God. And I really do appreciate the time that you guys spend to even have with me. And I take every day and every moment as a blessing from God. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we thank you for joining us, and we have a good amount of time here that we can converse with you about Tony, 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 about 3POB. We got a lot of the music here, And, of course, you're doing a lot of other projects, you know. But if you don't mind, share with the listeners, and I asked you this before, because, see, a lot of folks think that Tony is just three guys. But it really was a collection of many individuals. But prior to that, can you share who is Antron Hale? What got you into being a musician, a little bit about your background and this, that, and the other, for you to be where you are now?
Okay. Well, really, basically, it started off from church. I went as a kid in church. I started off playing drums. And when I was playing drums in church, I was a kid. I was probably about, I believe, 7 years old. And other churches would come around during, like, what was called the Midnight Musicals. I don't know if you know anything about that. But in the Church of God in Christ, they had Midnight Musicals on, like, a Friday night. And as a kid, people would come in other choirs from, like, churches and come and see this kid play drums. So I went from drums. Actually, me back it up, my mother said that when I was a child, I would go into her cabinets, and I would take out pots and pans and the spoons and make my own drum set.
Wow.
I don't remember doing this, but and I would build my own drum set and play to where she and my father said, hey, we got to get this boy a drum set, which I don't think they knew what they was doing at that time because allegedly I made a lot of noise in the house. but I went from that to church playing, and then I went from drums, then I started playing bass, and then I ended up being one of the first guys in church actually playing what is considered a synthesizer in church. And from that point on, that's where it started from. Yes.
Oh, wow. Interesting that you said that, because that's what I started off on, was drums. As a musician, my first love was drums. I loved drummers like Billy Cobham and, of course, Ringo Starr from the Beatles and everything. You know, growing up in my era, you know, you just love the music then, and then loving the drums, you just love the person that played the drums. Ringo was not the best drummer, you know. But hey, he was in the best spot, right? We all know the story, right? You know, he didn't have all of the rudiments. So let me ask you this: so then, from drums, you became a keyboardist. You started getting an interest into playing the keys, right?
Well, actually, from drums, I actually went to a bass. To actually bass guitar, I was really good at drums, and I always had my thing. Was even as a kid, I always played with older guys. So it's like back in those days, you know, you see how like we have rappers here, rappers there, everybody raps. Well, back then it was about the bands. So like a day like this, Saturdays, in my hood, in everybody's hood in Oakland, you would hear bands just jamming. And so they would let me
in the garage
come in.
Or whatever, right?
Yes. Yes, right, and join in and just play. And so I went to bass because I love bass. And I started playing bass. I didn't get to keys that fast because, you know, I thought it looked too hard. I thought it was too complicated seeing all those notes. But I realized from bass to the keys, they still have the same notes. You know, you got the same there. So as I, one of my, one of the things that got me into playing synth was I love this song. I believe it's called Juicy Fruit. And when I heard Juicy Fruit, I think the group was called
Tumi.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And once I heard the synthesizer solo in that, I was like, what is that sound? You know, I have been hearing this synth sound from, like, you know, groups like Midnight Star and all these other groups. But that captured me. And then I started learning more and more. I'm listening to stuff with, like, you know, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, Prince, and everyone else at that time, Rick James, and they always using synths. So I brought that into the church. And so between that, and plus I had a friend, he's still a good friend of mine, John Bain, who later on went on to actually play with Prince before, like, his last day. He idolized Prince. And even in junior high, we would play, you know, like Prince songs. Little Red Corvette, Lady Cab Driver, you know, and all the time songs, you know, 777-9311 and all this other stuff, you know. So, yes, that's how it all got.
So you guys were emulating other artists at that time?
Yes, we were. Yes, we were. Even in junior high, we were. And really, everybody from the group, from the original group has really a church background, whether it's from Church of God in Christ or Baptist. You have three guys who was Church of God in Christ, three guys Baptist. And so, but we combined our sounds and plus just doing, like, you know, top 40 and everything else. And that's what happened. You know, we came up with
it. Let me ask you this. Okay, so with that being said, you know, as you go through the whole thing, because, you know, to be honest, many of my guests have said they started from the church. And I don't find that amazing. I'm like, yeah, I can see that, you know. And a lot of folks say it's secular music and everything. So you started from the church. And that got you to the point of where you eventually got into secular, as they called it, music. Now, I've seen the video called No Loyalty, Royalty, No Loyalty, which is a documentary, you guys, that you can check it out, which is done by Elijah E.B. Baker and everything.
Yes.
About, and I want to go into the whole thing of the Tony thing to the 3TOB, because I got, you know, the music from them both. How did this whole thing start with Tony? Share with us, how did you guys all get together, start a band that was originally six members, from what I see, to where most people think it's really only three? How did Tony really seem?
Okay, well, first of all, I'm going to make this clear, because I'm going to speak just the truth about everything.
Okay, that's what I want.
Dwayne Wiggins owns the name Tony, but Tony was handpicked by Raphael Sadiq. And how it happened was he was friends with my first cousin, Tim, who you would consider a Tony, he's the one that never talks, never says anything, because he stutters, and they say I stutter. I just don't believe I do, so I talk. Okay.
I've never heard you stutter since I've been talking to you. So, okay, I do. I'm gonna be honest. I do stutter when I get excited, but go ahead, sir.
But actually, what happened was Timmy, and Raphael had played in a prior band called Hot Water. And so in Hot Water, the lead singer of Hot Water was Derrick Graham. And you might not know this, but Derrick Graham is actually Larry Graham's son.
I was thinking of Larry Graham when you said that, and I was thinking maybe just the fact that the last name Graham is so, you know. But when you said that, I was like, oh, my God, I just thought, is that part of Larry Graham's family? And you just confirmed it. But go ahead, sir.
Yes, it was.
Wow.
And like the group was okay. The group was okay. And I actually joined. We actually started off in high school because me and Elijah was in a group, and John Payne, the guy that I was saying, that went on to play for Prince and George Clinton and everyone else, you know. We had a band in high school named Spicy. So it's like me and Elijah have been playing together for years. And Elijah and Raphael is first cousins. And me and Tim, the one that doesn't talk, is first cousins. Carl Wheeler was a childhood friend that was pretty much Raphael's go-to guy, because Carl was a local star even as a kid. His family was on a show in the Bay called Just Kidding. And so Carl had been a local TV kid star since he was a kid. So Carl was basically raised kind of like I can say vocal coach, and also would give him great direction. When I say Ray, I mean Raphael Sadiq. You know, I just happen to just still say Ray. And so when this band was started, as we seen Hot Water really wasn't going anywhere, it was basically because even though Derrick Graham was Larry Graham's son, just because you are that person C doesn't mean that you're going to pick up their, how can I say it, the blessing or the anointing that your parents had. Just because that was your parent doesn't mean, just because your parent is an NFL player doesn't mean that you're going to make the draft, you know.
Correct.
You might not have what your parent had in that, you know. From that point, Raphael came to me, and he was like, hey, man, listen, we've been doing showcases and showcases. This band is not going anywhere. He says, Tron, man, we're thinking about starting our own group. And I'm like, who's going to be in our own group? And he says, me, Tim, Carl, my older brother, Dwayne, and like you, you know, and we're going to name this group Tony, Tony, Tony. He said, and I want to know if you want to be in this group. I'm still riding bikes because I'm like, I'm one of the first back then black BMX bike freestylers at the time, you know, like,
okay,
you know,
so you
I
have,
was
you,
like,
you
I was radical
you
as they were saying.
The music thing. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you were having fun doing something different. You weren't really looking at this music thing being serious at that point, right?
Well, like, I just love music, but I was also great at baseball. Like, I was batting 500 in baseball, you know? But a lot of things stopped me from pursuing as far as baseball and stopped me from pursuing my BMX thing. So I was like, well, you know, yeah, sure. Sure, you know. So it's like Rafael Sadiq handpicked the group Tony as a band. Not as three people, but as a band. And to confirm that, if anybody goes back to the first videos, you see the first six videos, I believe, you will see all six of us in every last video as a band.
Here's the thing. I can agree with that. I will, you know, say for the fact that if anybody goes to YouTube right now, at this moment as we speak, and look at and pull up Tony on Soul Train. On Soul Train, first appearance.
Yes,
it's a six-member band on that stage. It's not guys up there. You know how shows do. They hire guys to act like they're band members and everything. But, you know, you're looking at the choreography, six cats there, right, on stage.
Yeah.
It's not where it was three guys, and they had these other three guys there playing the bass and this, that, and the other that they hired to make the stage look full. No, that right there should tell you this was a band of six. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Very, very much so. Very much so.
Wow.
Even on the first album, the first Who album, even though they took the pictures of the three, because how, like, they had explained it to us is that the company wants to make it to where Tony has an identity. So this is a better way to relate it as three people, Tony. But if you look at the back of the actual album, you still see all six of us on the back of the first album.
Okay. I didn't know that part of it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yes.
I hope you guys are listening to what and trying to share with you, because if you own one of those albums, I know I do. I have to take a look at it because I never caught that. Honestly, I never knew that.
Yes.
Never knew that.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes.
So let me ask you a question about the songwriting abilities of the artist. You know, there's so many great hits, and people get confused of who wrote certain songs and, you know, this, that, and the other. You co-wrote many of the major hits, right?
Yes.
That we all know. Can you name off a few of them? And I think I might have them on the board so we can get a little sample of them. What are some of the songs that you co-wrote or wrote during that era? That a lot of people
I co-wrote and co-produced. I'm gonna just throw this one major one out there that actually won like the group an American Music Award. is It Never Rains in Southern California.
Wow.
Southern California, and this is how it went. This is how it went. My cousin Tim, you know, the one that doesn't talk much, he just sits there and smile. But then again, if I got rich off pretty much not doing anything, I would sit back and just smile and let the other two talk myself too. So I don't blame him for that. But at the same time, he came up with that da-da-da-da-da line. Okay. Which is a classic line. That's a great line. But we as a band produced that track. And if you notice, that track is also R&B and it's also a pop classic. But that track is also hood-based because I constructed the bass line to that track. Now, as we find out, because at first it kind of was churchy. You know, if you guys are from church, you know, a little bit of church is going to come out in your sound. But it's like I was so in tune because at this time we had already toured with Guy, Keith Sweat, and, you know, all of these guys. And me and Elijah was pretty much, break this down. We were, even though some guys in the group can say they are from Oakland or from the hood, no, me and Elijah is really from the hood. Like, we had hood friends. We was known in the hood way before Tony even existed. People knew us in the hood.
Well, the thing is that we're, Elijah is not the type of individual to try to cover up his tracks. Elijah spent time behind bars. He shares that. Right?
Right.
So he has no shame of sharing, you know, his life, of what he dealt with, you know, to where he is now. So I give him a lot of credit for that, you know, that where he's not trying to hide anything. He tells the truth about himself. And I'm really proud of that, brother. But real quick, if you don't mind, and I want you to continue what you're sharing, and I'm not trying to cut you off, but I want to get the music in a little bit. Unfortunately, you guys, Blog Talk does not have the best fading when it comes to playing music where I can fade it out, you know, smoothly. But let me go ahead and play a little bit of that track that you just said, It Never Rains. Is that okay with you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's check this out because this is one of the classics from Tony Tone. Tony, okay? I'm going to give you a little sample. So there's a sample of the hit song, It Never Rains in Southern California, one of my favorite songs, bro. Seriously, and I play it all the time. Your input on that song was what?
My input on that song is that I brought the hood element out that you might not can even tell, but you can feel. And even when that song had came out, that's like the only Tony song that somebody can play in their car and go down the street and it's going to knock. It'll tear your trunk up. I mean, it will annihilate your trunk. Matter of fact, it's probably the only song besides Feels Good that actually has an 808 in it. But I made the concept like that because of hearing the stuff that was out then and even now, everybody loves bass. Everybody likes their trunk. Everybody likes that. And once somebody from like my hood had asked, he said they heard it, and they said, "Tron, man, y'all did this one. Y'all this." And he pulled off with his 12s or 15s bumping that song. I said, "We got them. If we can get the hood, we can get them all." You know, and actually, in writing that, I actually helped Ray Cole write that song, especially in the change, because you know, I'm not gonna go too far into it. But when you hear the part when he says, "I can't sleep at night," he was really stuck
out
there.
Here, 8x10 by my side. Yeah,
right.
I know the lyrics.
That's right. Where like he was saying picture. He wanted to say picture, and he called me back there and was like, "Man, what was it? Because I had spent time at A&M Records, and John McClain was telling me and talking to me, and he gave me this big giant Bible book on hit songwriting, and one of the things was how to say the same things a different way, and
correct.
Came
correct.
Up with without picture, without your 8x10 was saying the same thing without saying picture. And that's how that came apart of that track, is because Ray was actually stuck, and he had to come. He called me back there to help him write that. So it's like it's little things you do just to tweak and analyze and produce the track to make the track right. And that's one of the tracks. That's one of the lines right there in that song.
To be honest, that's one of the lines in that song. Me personally, that I love about that song, because I mean, you know, I've been in this for a long time, but I look at the creativity and the things that where the way that songs are written. Compared to what you hear now, where they're just explicit and they don't give a damn what they say, but you know, for me, it's where it gives the listener can have an open mind of what that lyric means and think about it, right? Or that verse means, or this, that, and the other. Quickly, I want to say this, is that where, of course, I have one of my co-hosts here, Janet Davis, is on the line. Janet Polly Hawkins Davis, who's my right hand here. I'm pretty sure she has a question or comment so far. Janet, you want to chime in?
Well, I just have one question. I was wondering, where did you come up with the name Chantreezy? I think that's...
That is my producer's name. That's what I go by now. Well, how that came apart was when everything fell apart, and after the whole deception thing, you know, you got to understand. When this stuff was going on, guys, I'm the youngest member of this group. Elijah E.B. Baker is the second youngest member of the original group. So Elijah has 2 years on me. You know, he only has 2 years, almost 2 years on me. We were doing this stuff. The album dropped in 88. The first album. I was only 18 years old. So it's like you have to understand that at that time we were all family. I mean, before anybody knew who Tony was, you have to understand, when I was 15 years old, we were playing in clubs, and I was not even mm-hmm. supposed to be in the club, but we was opening up for Zapp and Roger. We're opening up for Zapp and Roger, Rudy Ray Moore, you know, and so it's like, which my father, he didn't mind because my mother had passed when I was 15, but my but it's like my father, he didn't mind because of the hood I come from. Most of the kids at that age was either just hanging out on the streets or, you know, just being out, just waiting to get in trouble. At least I was, you know, at like a club playing, doing something productive besides being out in the streets or selling dope or just hanging out. But the name Tron Tree.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Okay, now. But after everything went through with the contracts and the deception and all that other stuff, I felt so demeaned, so demised. And at this point, everybody recognized them as Tony. They mm-hmm. had totally erased us as far as what people would know, because as people would know, they was just seeing the three, but you didn't start seeing the three. The first video that they showed the three was It Never Rains, so that's the first video that you ever see just three of them.
Let's go into something else, and because to make people understand who are listening in, there was a thing called the numbers, right?
Yes.
Okay, and you were not aware of it because you just shared that you were so young, and you had you had no clue of how that worked in the business. The thing is that we're here, you're there at 18, 19 years old, maybe, and here you're so excited, you know, because, you know, you're in a group that has a hit, you know, songs out and everything. But you didn't know, and I'm just speculating, I might be right, but like Charles Barkley says, I might be right, I might be wrong, but I know I'm right on this one. There was a thing known as the numbers back then that you and Elijah was not aware of. But the Tonys, I call them the Tonys, meaning Raphael, also Tim, and Devon was aware of, but they never shared that with you guys, okay? And so they were getting they were getting the money, and you guys weren't. Can you share on that how that went down? Now, this was a while back. Now, things are different, you know, according to how the music industry works now compared to then. But can you share how you were not, you know, privy to that, or you didn't understand that, and what difference did it make in your life when you found out about it? Also, at that time, not with your present wife, but with a past individual, you were going to be a father of a child. This money really would have been very, you know, important, right? Had you known it was there and it was available to you. But no one told you about it, or it was kind of like not shared with you where you could have been involved into that whole thing. Can you share into that whole story?
Yes, I will. Okay, but first of all, let me just finish up with her answer. I was so demeaned and so demised that it didn't reflect I didn't want nobody to know me as Antron Hill from Tony, Tony, Tony. So that's how I came up with Tron Treasy, to make a long story short. It was just an alias for people, because if I say I'm Antron Hill from Tony, 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 they want to see Antron Hill represent Tony, Tony, Tony. And at that time, going back to what you just said, Mike, is that if I had got the money that I was supposed to have got, it would have reflected that. So now, how that would have helped, because we just found this out during that documentary that you seen and that people should seen, and if they have not saw it, that was not an act when we found out how much money was being dispersed at that time. And under the contract that we had signed, that money at that particular time, I was entitled to $700,000 of each advancement at that time. And I wasn't receiving, compared to that, I was being paid, as a worker. Well, we were getting paid as workers instead of owners. And we signed on as owners. So that's just like you create Walmart, and then they slip you a paper when you're young, and you think it's just a $10,000 advancement. And, you know, you trust your family. You trust, you know, I mean, like, this is my first cousin. This is Elijah's first cousin. These are our friends. We did 12-hour rehearsals together. Dwayne would pick me up in his hoopty to come and rehearse when I didn't have a car, and go and rehearse for hours at a time for them to slip us this piece of paper that lawyers, and once they fired the other manager, or like original manager, had it set up to be, to where instead of sharing it with us, they decided to keep it themselves. So as we're getting paid, just like saying we got paid weekly. When we were supposed to be getting paid per show, they were getting paid per show. We wasn't knowing this because, hey, we've never been in this before. So it's like, but they was getting advice. And the whole thing about having a manager is your management is to protect you from things like that. That's why one of the first things they had to do was get rid of the original manager. You get rid of the original manager, you get rid of the paperwork. You get rid of the paperwork, we have no idea what we have or what we signed, because it wasn't like we had our own paperwork. We was young. I mean, you know, that paperwork, it could have ended up anywhere.
I follow exactly what you're saying, and that's the sadness of this whole thing, is that where, you know, when you look at those type of situations that go down, and you know, again, I truly appreciate you, my brother, to come in and share the reality of what occurs in the industry. Now, with the change of the industry now, and everything, and folks say, well, you know, that was back then and everything. But then again, the same practices still work even with technology that we have, right?
Yeah.
Some of the same practices are still there, right?
Yeah.
So we have a little bit of time left. Okay. There's another song that I believe you were connected into actually the writing of this hit song. That, again, everything's about the Tonys, the three individuals, which is Raphael, Dwayne, and Tim. Recently, in fact, did a tour or working on tours or doing tours. I don't know if any of you guys are part of the tours. I think that at one point that Elijah said that they asked him to join them for a show a few years ago, and he went ahead and did it. Don't confirm that, but I think that that's what he said. And he went ahead and did it. But he was with that just like a band member, not just like another musician on stage, not knowing he's really an original member, right? But here's a song called Anniversary, one of my favorite songs, and Tron, one of my favorite songs. You have a lot to do with that song, right?
Well, I didn't have a lot to do with the song itself, but sometimes what people, what they would do with stuff is like they would take an idea, something that they might have heard. I've heard them do it numerous times. They'll take an idea and they won't, especially Ray, he's good at taking someone else's idea. And not using the same, not doing the same thing, but getting a feed off of what you did and then saying that it's his. Because if you listen to that song, Anniversary, if you pay really good attention to it, the way and the melody that Raphael sings that song, Tomorrow May Come, and if you take that melody line right there and you hear that in your head, now picture Stevie Wonder singing that song. And notice how much that line sounds like a line Stevie Wonder would sing.
True, but there's so many. But then again, now hold on, and I agree with you 1,000%. But the thing is that we're, as you well know, as a keyboard player, there's only so many chords that you can play, right?
Yes, it's only so many chords a person can play.
There's only so many chords you can play on a piano. It's about the structure of the chord.
That's right.
Correct?
Right.
So, you know, a piano has so many chords. So, and over the years that we listen to songs, there's many chords that you hear. It depends on the structure of it. Now, I want to also touch on things, you know, because you know, your time with Tony and everything is just, you know, based on this. And I want all the listeners, if you have not looked at the documentary, it is available on YouTube called Loyalty, No Royalty, okay? And it shares a lot of the story of, you know, what happened to the original members and the things that they went through, including yourself. Right, which that it was Elijah E.B. Baker who made this, and check it out. But now I just want to go into what you're doing now, and 3TOB.
Yes.
Now 3TOB, I know that TOB is the original band.
Yes.
What are the three parts? Come in at? What is
the three actually means Tony original band. But since Dwayne owns the name Tony, as that tour that you were saying, that tour has come and gone. Now Dwayne has it as Dwayne Presents Tony, Tony, Tony. And Raphael Sadiq is nowhere around this tour because it's a Dwayne Presents, and it's Dwayne, and it might as well be called Dwayne and the Band. I mean, I could do that. I mean, I could say Tron Treasy Presents Tony, 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 and get a whole mm-hmm. group of guys and just play, like, the stuff. But 3TOB came apart, and actually they only really did that tour is because they heard what we were doing, and we did some shows, and the feedback came back so immaculate. And what was so crazy about it was that we can play Tony stuff plus our own original stuff because they don't have anything out recently. And guess what? We get paid equally and not do what Dwayne can do or what Ray can do, and that is say, okay, then you get paid $200 to play for a show, or you get $300 here and there. No, we get the max, whatever we charge, we split it amongst ourselves equally as a band foundation.
Okay, so I'm running out of time, and I want to do this. I want to play one track, just a little bit of it. Unfortunately, I could not get your artist uploaded.
Is he product?
You're working with new. Yeah, I wasn't able to get that uploaded. I had an issue with that, but I want you to share Easy Project. Let folks know about this new artist that you have.
Yes, right. Izzy Product. He's based out of Texas. This guy is so awesome. He's a rapper, but he's also a singer. And it's very interesting. I don't mean like a Drake singer, but he can really sing. Like, he really, like, you know, sings in a choir type, you know. And he's so interesting and so talented. And he's out of Texas, and he's an awesome artist. And he has a single that'll be out in March. It's called Red Jacket, and we're pushing that. And hopefully, I don't know if the Niners offensive line can hold up. But if the 49ers offensive line hold up, we're trying to make that to be the Niners theme song. It's called Red Jacket. And
okay.
If not, it's still going out in March.
Hey, look, you know what I want to do right now? And as I said, I'm working on getting Izzy's songs on the show and everything. But, you know, we've already talked about, you know, the Tony, Tony, Tony thing. But you're with 3TOB. You just shared that. I want the artists, the listeners, I'm sorry, to hear, you know, some of the great stuff that you guys are doing as a unit. And individually, you guys are doing awesome stuff, you know. Of course, Elijah Baker, and of course, I want to give a shout out to Elijah. Thank you for the connection.
Yeah.
Also, Mr. Camille, right?
Yes, Amar. Yes,
Amar Camille. Thank him. He's been on the show, and love his music. Let me go ahead and run this track down real quick before we get out of here. And then we're going to come back and talk to you. And I see some more posts starting to pop on the board. You came in kind of late, y'all. You missed a lot of great conversation. And, of course, hey, man, you're more than welcome to come back and join us at any time, okay? I really appreciate, you know, you sharing, you know, a lot of the stories and a lot of the information and educating us on things that we don't know. You've experienced it, and I know you have, you know, based on it. Let me go ahead and play this track. This is 3POB, you guys, okay? My special guest this evening is Mr. Atron Hale, former member of Tony, now keyboardist, producer with the group called 3POB, and here's one of their greatest hits I love, Never Again. Welcome back to TMGS. It's the Michael Gaze Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, with our special guest, and truly a special guest, Atron Hale, former keyboardist for the group Tony, which a lot of folks don't know. It was a six-member band, but right there you heard him playing on 3POB. Okay.
Yeah.
Atron, you still here? Yeah.
Yes, I
3TOB, am. And you guys, please, please, look up 3TOB. Atron, please share with folks how they can get a hold of this great music. Man, I love that track with you and Amar and also with Elijah, you know, because you guys, you know, once Tony did what they did, you all just went ahead forward and said, okay, we got 3TOB. I love it.
Can I speak on that 1 second? just for 1 second here. What you are hearing and what 3TOB is, if 3TOB is the foundation of the sound of Tony, Tony, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
3TOB is the cement of the sound that you guys love and know as Tony, Tony, Tony. So once we agreed amongst ourselves to say, okay, then, since they're going to go ahead and run with it and keep on going, then since we are the foundational sound, let's show the world this is our sound that they're singing.
Right.
We created
right.
this sound. And so right. and so at that point, that's how come you can hear the flow of it, because
mm-hmm.
as you know now, Raphael has had at least 3 solo albums out, and none of it has really done too much, you know, and I'm not talking bad about Ray, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
But he's a great co-writer. He's a great co-producer. But when you're trying to do stuff yourself without your team, that's what you get. I mean, you got to have the right team. Dwayne also had an album, a solo album, years ago, signed to Motown. You probably haven't even heard that album. That's how bad that was. But once you get to, once you have the foundation, once you have the foundation, the house is easy to build. It's getting your foundation grounded.
Right.
That's right.
I got 8 minutes left. I got 8 minutes left before I have to get off the line. But, you know, you are 100% right. And when I look at, you know, like, you know, the Shalimars that are out there, the, you know, groups that break up and all of a sudden you get those offsprings and everything, you know, and then they want to go ahead and go forward and do this and the other. The thing is that all you're going to do is your old hits. You're not going to do nothing new. You know, there's 2 late prods, right? There's 3 groups call themselves Climax. There's 2-3 Temptations.
Yep.
When does it end? and all the originals are still there. If you can't get together and work it out together to bring back what the individuals, the fans want, then you're always going to be that branch-off group that's just always doing stuff that you're wondering what's going wrong. No, what's going wrong, you're not giving the fans what they deserve.
That's
my point of view, okay? You're
that's
not giving
right.
the fans what they deserve. But 3TOB, and again, I love everything you guys. In fact, individually you guys do things, but you still work together. That's awesome.
That's right.
I love it.
That's right.
I love it. I got all you guys' songs and everything. And in all honesty, Antron, I'd love for you to come back again and let us talk more into the music realm. Are you available to do that?
Yes, I am. And also, too, though, before I leave off the air, I just want to say that I want the people to be looking out for my book, Erased, the Antron Hill story. Mm-hmm. And it's going to go into a lot of detail of what was said and done. And it's not just about them. It's just about life and a living testimony from then until now. And people are going to really enjoy that. You might shed some tears at times, but you're going to have joy at the about time you get to like the end of it, because God is good. And I just wanted to put that out there for you guys. And once again, God bless everyone. And I hope to be back soon. And as things go on, you know, I hope people learn, and I hope they learn about the business and don't get caught up in things. And you got to really watch a whole lot. But, you know, if we come back on, we can get further into this thing, you know.
Well, no, we're going to do that. No, trust me, we're going to do that. It's not an if. It's just that we have to set a date and time. It's not an if.
Yeah.
Hey, look, my brother is not that. Okay? Because what you shared is really great. Thanks to, I have to say, thanks to Elijah E.B. Baker for getting me connected with you. You know, he made that happen. So thank you, Elijah, you know, and everything, for you to come on the show this evening and introducing us. You know, I really enjoy doing this and having individuals share, you know, their experiences and their journeys, you know, and everything, and telling the truth. And that's the main thing, and educating. Truth and education is just so important, you know, and so what you just shared this evening, and again, love you to come back. I hate that I only have a certain amount of time, you know, because I could have gone 3 hours, you know, but we did an hour. But, you know, let's go ahead and set up another date and do it again and talk more, okay?
Yes, and if anybody wants to hear that great music that you're hearing, go ahead to 3TOB.com and download that, you know, if you want that soulful vibe, you know, that feel good kickback music, you know, there it is. You know, if you don't want to hear nothing just about dropping it and you know what's going on now. You know, man,
yeah.
If you want
to,
they just totally. They just totally just took love out the music industry at all. It's no more love left.
Yeah. Well, no, there is, because you just told them how they can find it. So you guys go ahead and do that, as he just told you. Go ahead and go along and get some great music. I mean, you know, again, I'm thankful for you being a guest here. You're sharing, you know, some great stories. Got to have you back on again. Janet, how are you doing? Want to give your last shout out before we go?
Yes, I truly enjoyed listening to your stories, and hopefully the next time we'll be able to hear more music.
Okay.
Yes, thank you so much. And one last thing, Tron Treasy Productions is hiring. If I don't say it, my wife will get it. We already have some people hired, but we need more people. And if whatever it is, contact us, and we'll get back with you. And that's it.
Okay.
God bless everybody.
All right. I got 60
have
seconds.
A great
I got to go. I got to go. 60 seconds. I got to clean up the show. I'll go ahead and end the show. Hey, you guys, God bless. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you next week. We will have our guests back again. So, hey, you know, hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back. All right. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great remainder of your weekend. God bless. We'll see you next Saturday here on the 2MGS. Good night, y'all.
Good night.